Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This summer, we're going to have just a short series on some of the women in the Bible. And today, we're going to look at Ruth and Naomi. The book is actually a very good example of a Hebrew short story. History is behind it, but it's a short story, just four chapters in length. And I'll just, one note about customs that'll be important for the sermon later on. In many non-Western societies, even today, if a husband dies without a child, it is the duty of the nearest kin to marry his wife and to raise up children in his name. It's called livret marriage. And it lies behind the story of Ruth. Okay. My first reading is the famous one. It comes from the opening of the book. And this is the line you all know from weddings and everything. So Naomi said to Ruth, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Do the same as your sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, there I shall die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And then this is a reading from the end of the story, scene of great jubilation. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. And Ruth is a descendant of Israel's greatest king and also of Jesus. He's in that line as well. Okay. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Old Testament book of Ruth is regarded as one of the most magnificent short stories in world literature. And it's about ordinary people. There are no kings giving dramatic speeches. There are no great dramatic battle scenes in it. It's about ordinary people trying to survive and eke out a living amidst all the vicissitudes, the ups and downs of daily life, of ordinary people. In this book, God does not speak out of the clouds. God does not speak out of burning bushes, but there is no question but what God is present, working under the surface, like yeast in the dough, to bring good to bring love out of tragedy. Today we start a new short series of sermons on women in the scriptures, and we're looking at Ruth and Naomi. And do you all remember the story, the way it develops? Naomi is a Jewish woman who's living in Israel. She has a family, a husband and two sons. And it's a time of drought and famine. And because of this, they are forced to become refugees in another country. They are forced to go and try and find food in a country called Moab. And there, things are all right for a while. The two sons marry Moabite girls. Things seem to be going well. But then, you know the way life is? Sometimes there's a blow, and then a number of them right after it. And this is what happens to Naomi and her family. Her husband dies, her two sons die. And the plight of a widow in this period cannot be overstated. You're destitute. You're alone. There's no protection, no chance of survival virtually. And so what Naomi does is to send her two daughters-in-law back to their families where they have some chance of survival. And she says to them, maybe you'll find new husbands. But it's here that Ruth speaks up as one of the daughters-in-law and gives that famous speech that we all know. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, there I shall die, and there I will be buried. Not even death itself shall be able to separate us. Now, it's that speech that has made Ruth famous, I think. And you know, her name, Ruth, is just a shortened form of the Hebrew word for friend, companion. And she is a real friend. You know, a real friend, what, is there. It's there for you. Likes you for the person you are, not for what you can do for them. They like you for who you are, and they stay with you through thick and thin. Ruth lives up to her name, friend, companion. Now realize what's taking place here. Ruth is not Jewish. She's a Gentile. Here we have friendship between people who are of different religions, different races, different countries, and yet their common humanity, their common history of suffering transcends all these differences. Loyalty. Friendship. That's what goes here. And I think we've lost some of that in our society, haven't we? The importance of friendship. And here we have mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, where there's in many societies tension, but here that close relationship. Here we have a younger woman and an older woman together. I think here we have Ruth as a person who really lives up to her name, her inner character. She is a true friend to her mother-in-law, somebody who sticks there and is willing to leave her own people and go with Ruth back home, go with Naomi back home. I think there's something else here that we can all identify with. Sometimes life just doesn't turn out the way we thought it would. Look at what Naomi went through. famine, going to another country, a husband dies, sons die. She's left alone. That's not what she was looking for. But that's what came her way, tragedy. Sometimes life doesn't turn out the way we thought it would. And, I told the story about our own family where we have a grandson who's 20 years old now and is not able to speak, is not able to feed himself, is not able to walk, has severe cerebral palsy. And Patty and I remember when he was, young, just a little one, and that diagnosis of cerebral palsy was given, we grieved. And we wondered what this would do to our daughter and her husband's faith. We wondered what it would do to their marriage. But somehow, they made the decision just to take delight and any little cuddle from that little boy, and any little smile, and any little laugh. And it's interesting what this little boy did for our family. This is a tragedy again. But it's interesting how God can sometimes bring good out of something that's bad. And that is, I don't know what it was like in your home, but our girls, when they were teenagers, they were about 3 years apart. And I thought there were times they were going to kill one another. I mean, they, you've got my sweater. No, it's my sweater. You've got my boyfriend now. But, there was a lot of sibling rivalry there. And it's interesting what's happened largely because of little Brennan. This little boy with cerebral palsy. Our daughters now live 5 minutes apart. And I think that little boy has brought the two girls together, where one's daughters look at the other as their second mother. And there's been family coming together that might have been off in different directions, coming together as one. Sometimes good can come out of tragedy. God works even in the most difficult of times. There are situations, that we all go through where life does not turn out the way we expected it to. That's true of Naomi, that's true of Ruth. And I remember there's a story about Isaac Perlman, the great violinist. And when he was young, he came down with polio. And you remember the scare when we were growing up, the scare about polio? Perlman, his legs were affected. But he wouldn't let that keep him down. And I think it was like November 18th, 1995. He was giving a concert at Lincoln Center in New York City. And he came out on the stage with his crutches and with these very heavy supports on his legs. And he came and he sat down and he put his crutches down on the floor. He took off those supports from his legs, put them down, those heavy supports, picked up his violin, and signaled the conductor that they could start the symphony that they were going to play. But just a few minutes into the piece, there was a ping. You know what happened? one of the strings on his violin had broken. The orchestra stopped. The people were just, you know, in a hush. You know, what was he going to do now? Was he going to put on all those heavy supports and get his crutches and go out and get another string? What was he going to do? And he closed his eyes for a moment. And I don't know how somebody does this, but he transposed in his mind a piece that is to be played on four strings into three strings. And he signaled again, we go, and he played powerfully. He played a great piece of music with strength and imagination and greatness. And at the end, you know, people were just silent. And then they all stood up and applauded. But he again is seated. And he lifted up his bow to kind of silence the people in the audience. And he said this not in an arrogant way at all, but in a very positive, honest way. He said, sometimes in life, we have to do the best we can with the music we have left. Sometimes in life, we have to do the best we can with the music we have left. And I think that's what Naomi and Ruth did. They didn't have much music left, but they made the best of it. And I think each of us can do the same, right? Now, Ruth and Naomi go back to Bethlehem, which is Naomi's home. And there's a man called Boaz, who's a relative of Naomi, he's an old bachelor. And he has a field. And Naomi sends Ruth out in the field to get the pickings after the first picking. And that the poor could do in Israel. You could go into a field once the first picking was done. And if you were poor, you could take what you needed. Now Boaz sees Ruth and he orders his workers, leave a little extra behind for her. And Ruth comes to him afterwards and says, you know, why have you done this for me? Why are you leaving extra grain for me? Why are you being so kind? And Boaz says, you've been very kind to your mother-in-law, Naomi. God will reward you. Now, he doesn't realize it. But these are very fatal words because he is going to be the reward for her. Okay. And here the author picks up a very lighthearted note from all the tragedy we've been through. Now the tone changes to a very lighthearted thing. And remember, this levirate marriage is in the background. One night, she says to Ruth, you go and lie down at the bottom of Boaz's bed. Now picture this poor man. He's fast asleep, snoring away. He turns over and his toes touch something. And lo and behold, there is a woman at the bottom of his bed. Now, what do you think he said? What would you say? Boaz says, praise the Lord. God bless you. he's he's very taken by the fact, here he is, an old bachelor. He's very taken that Ruth has a fancy for him and not some young buck, you know. And so the two are in love. They want to get married. But this is a real soap opera now, because there's another man who has rights, first rights, on Ruth. And he must renounce that in order for them to get married. So it's a cliffhanger. Well, they do get married. Everything works out fine. And Naomi, do you know what the name Naomi means? It means joy, happiness. And this woman, who never thought she would smile again in her life, now lives up to her name. She has joy. Because Boaz and Ruth have a baby. And she holds this baby in her arms, and the women of the village come and they dance around, great joy. And they say, you know, God be praised. He has given you a grandson who will take care of you in your old age. And something, again, you know, a story that has started out with such sadness, such hardship, ends on such a joyful note, new birth, new life. And Naomi does discover that restored life again. And as the author tells us, this child is called Obed. He's the father of Jesse, who is the father of Israel's greatest king. And I think the lessons for us in this account are that friendship's important. Loyalty is important. God is loyal to us, and he asks us to be loyal to one another. And sometimes life doesn't turn out the way we expected it to. But still, our God is at work. Maybe as yeast in the dough, to bring love out of tragedy. Amen.